Good afternoon, everybody. It's Saturday, the 2nd of August. It's quite windy today, and it's very warm when the sun's out, but the sun keeps going in and out. Just now when I went outside with the dogs, it was really warm, but now the sun's gone in a bit. We were supposed to have rain, but we didn't have any. I was awake all night, and I think about 3 o'clock, it started to drip, like a little bit of drizzle. I went downstairs to get a drink, and when I came back up, because all the windows are closed down here at night, of course, when I came back up, it stopped already. So Obi came home from work. He was working last night, and he had one job in the community this morning, which was just actually in the road, Sussex Road, which is literally pretty much around the corner from here. He had to go there, and then he got home about 11, and he said it was raining in Croydon this morning, but it hadn't rained here, which it hasn't. So I think we could do with a bit of rain, actually, and I was quite looking forward to it, but there you go. Yesterday I didn't have a very good day. I wasn't feeling it at all. I am back to my not sleeping at night thing. I think it's partly to do with the weather. I think it's when something in my blood, I think it's probably my phosphate levels get too high, and it causes me to be very restless. Because what happens, I lay down, I can relax, and I'm tired, and then something will, I get like a compulsion to get up and to move. So it's really horrible, actually. It's worse than being wide awake, because at least you can do things then. I actually just spent the night catching up on audio booths, because I was really behind listening to all the ones I wanted to listen to. And by about 6, I fell asleep. But when I fall asleep, it's a very restless sleep to start with. And who goes there? I'm on audio boo. Okay. Hold on a minute, everyone. I've just got to pause to talk to Ronan. Hold on. Yeah, when I go to sleep, at first it's not a proper sleep. I just keep waking up. And then, of course, then everyone else starts to get up. One of Obi's friends called the landline, and I was half asleep, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. I could understand what he was saying, but I couldn't understand who it was, the name. And then I went back to sleep, and then the kids started getting up, and then Obi came home, and then, you know, your sleep's interrupted, that's it. You just might as well just get up. Connor did bring me a cup of Tassimo tea in bed, which I did really appreciate. So that was it. But, yeah, yesterday, I had the same thing yesterday, except in the morning I couldn't go back to sleep at all because I had to get up. Who's that? That's Chief Wackaboo-boo. I had to get up because Rona needed to be at the podiatry clinic for a redressing on his toes. Let me get down. For 9:15. And also I had set my alarm for 6:30 anyway. Come on. There's no peace in this house, I tell you. I had set my alarm for 6:30, and I actually woke up at 5:45. I went to sleep about 5:45, and then my alarm went off at 6:30. I actually wanted to speak to Connor before he left for work. He's okay now, but I was really worried about him, because Wednesday he came home from work. He didn't go winding Ronan up. He just went in his room, shut the door. He didn't have anything to eat. He didn't want any dinner. Thursday, we were very hot that day, and so I just thought, oh, he's tired. And so Thursday, we were very hot, so we actually bought sandwiches and that. I know we could have made them, but, you know, I didn't really feel like being in the kitchen at all, so we just bought sandwiches. Obi did. He got them for everybody and stuff to go with it, you know. And because we went and had our, like, what would have been our dinner, but it was like just like a picnic tea in the park. and the same. He did eat that, but Connor, but he was very moody, and he just wouldn't really speak to anybody. And he gets like that sometimes, but it's usually when he's worried about something. And you know, for 2 days running, I started to get really concerned. I know he's 21 and all that, but anyway, Friday morning I got up to speak to him because I thought before everyone else is up. So I went in there and I tried to ask him about it, and he got really foul. And I said, well, I just want you to know that you're not on your own with anything. If you want to, you know, I'm here if you need me, kind of thing. And anyway, so I was already up, and then I had to stay up because I had to go to the clinic with Ronan at 9:15, and that all went well. Everything's fine. We've got to go back Wednesday. But I just didn't feel that well, really. I was tired. I came back home and I said, oh, I won't do any. I came back home thinking, oh, I'll do this and I'll do that. And then I thought, no, I won't. I'm just going to lay down on the bed and go back to sleep. So I just dropped off to sleep and the phone rang. This is what happens when you don't sleep at night. You can't ever catch up with it in the daytime. The phone rang. It was my mum. And she said, oh, you sound a bit. Because I don't think I sounded very pleased to hear her. She didn't say what. She didn't elaborate. And I said, well, I haven't slept all night and I just fell off to sleep. She said, well, do you want to go then? Shall I call back later? I said, no, don't worry. So I spoke to her for about half an hour, and by which time I was wide awake again, so I didn't go back to sleep. And but I didn't feel very well. I had an upset stomach all day, which is probably due to laxatives and a combination of laxatives, which I have to take. All CAPD dialysis patients have to, and just probably something I'd eaten, I don't know. So I didn't feel very well. I just didn't feel it at all. I didn't feel in a very good mood. Nothing seemed to go right. I did doze off for a little bit, I think, in the afternoon, but it wasn't for long. Obi was working in the community, and we were really pissed off about that because they've got this ongoing thing. He works for the community part of the company, but they loan him to one of the care homes. That's been for about the past 6 weeks. And he's happy doing 3 nights a week at the care home when they need him to fill in, because it means the money's better because he's got more hours. Now, when he works in the community, he doesn't get many hours, and so it doesn't add up to much, although he's out a lot because we haven't got a car and he has to walk around in between the different places. And so for a couple of weeks, they didn't give him any community work, and he was really pleased. But now they started up again, and there seems to be a battle going on between the community manager and the manager of the care home, because Obi would like to transfer to the care home as permanent staff, which would guarantee him 33 hours a week and any more that he wanted to take on if shifts became available due to sickness or holiday, annual leave and stuff. So he wants to do that, and the manager of the care home is reluctant to take him on because he doesn't want to upset the manager of the community part of the company, because they get accused of taking their staff. So now there seems to be a battle of wills, because now the community manager is giving Obi all the work he can find, and he's doing the nighttime work. So this is how his timetable looked from yesterday onwards. Working in the morning. In fact, they rang at 10 to 7 yesterday, before we were even up. They rang at 10 to 7 to ask if they could. He was already doing two people in the morning. Could he do a third? So he did three people in the morning, came home lunchtime, went to work at the care home last night, came home this morning, did one person. Now, he's got the rest of the day off. Then in the morning, he's got to go to one person. I just think it's one person. And that's a bit of a palaver, because he goes to do care for the man. But on a Wednesdays and Sundays, the woman likes to have a shower, the wife, and she wants to have a female carer there in case she's frightened. She likes to have someone there when she has a shower, because her husband's got dementia, and if she falls up, she's frightened of slipping over. So, but she wants to have a female carer on those days, obviously, in case she falls over, to preserve her dignity. So he told the care agency, and they said, oh, they'll sort it out. So they, but when he looked at his rota, they'd still given him Sunday, and they gave him Wednesday. And she said, because she knows him, she doesn't mind doing it, you know, him being there. But she said, he said, well, you get onto the care, you know, you get onto them, because, you know, they'll take more notice of you. So this morning, when he went there, He told her that he's meant to be going there again tomorrow, which is Sunday, and she wants a female carer. So she rang them up and she went mad on the phone and she said, you know, she's really fed up with it and all that. And they said, there's no one else available. So she's got to have him. So anyway, so that's tomorrow. Then he's working in the evening. And then I don't know if they gave him anyone Monday morning. I think they did, but I don't know if he's... Monday morning. Then he's working care home Monday night. Then he's working in the community Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, at the care home Saturday night, in the community Sunday morning, and the care home next Sunday night. So, and the thing is, because he's on a 0 hours contract, he doesn't like to turn it down in case they start saying, oh, well, I don't think they will, because if they reckon there's no one else available, but there seems to be loggerheads between the two managers, and so he can't get anywhere because he wants to go permanent at the home. He has applied to a local home here, but they've had 50 applications. So they've written, apparently they sent the letters out yesterday, but he hasn't got it yet to say whether everyone's been called for an interview or whether they haven't. But he's quite happy working at this place because he knows the routine there now. Although the travelling is a bit of a pain, but you know, it's what you get used to, really. So, basically, what someone's advised him to do is actually resign from the organisation and apply to work at the care home. But obviously, he's not going to do that unless he's almost guaranteed by the manager that he will get the job. Seeing as he's already worked there, he knows the ropes, they know he's a good worker. It's really sad, actually. It's a sad field to work in. I wanted to talk a bit about this, really. Actually, I meant to talk about this the other day, but I never got round to it. Because I was listening to a boo by Adamson family, Nick. And he was talking about going to see his paternal grandmother, who's now in her 90s, and how she said it's getting a bit too much for her living at home. She'd like to go into a home, and his feelings about it, you know, she's very frail now, and I got to thinking about it because of the kind of work my husband does, and I thought, well, do you know what? At least she's still all there, and she, if she wants to go into a care home, I'm sure there are some really nice ones around. Well, the one that Obi works at is really nice, and you know, at least it's her choice. She has the choice. Because she's still all there in her mind. I hate to put it in that way, but you know what I mean. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but she is, and she can make the choice. Because I got to feeling these poor people, they have no choice in what happens to them because they don't know what's going on from day to day and from minute to minute. And it brought it home to me today because he said that there was one lady that came in for respite. I don't know how long she's in there. She came in for respite care last night. Now, she came in at 10 o'clock at night and was more or less put straight to bed, which I think is a bit stupid. It's not the home's fault because they obviously didn't bring her in. It's whoever was responsible for getting her there, which again, I don't know, you know, whether it was family, whether it was a transport service or something like that. But for someone who's already very confused, I don't think going somewhere, I don't like arriving somewhere and going straight to bed. And I know what's going on. So he said what they have, that in each patient's room, residence room, there's a cord. You pull this cord and he's got a mobile phone in his hand and it'll ring the phone so he can talk to them and see what's wrong. So this morning, just before 6 o'clock, she pulled her cord and he answered the phone and she was crying her eyes out. I could cry talking about it. She was crying her eyes out because she didn't know where she was. You know, she didn't know what was going on. She said, where am I? And I thought it was so sad. And he went and got her out and, you know, and brought her in the lounge and gave her a cup of tea. And he was trying to do his care notes. They have to do all these notes. And they've just gone over to the computer system. And it was his first time of doing it on the computer. So that's what he was doing. And the team leader came along and said, oh, your husband's she said something about your husband's in hospital when he comes out. So whether that's for the reason she's in there. But, you know, because she's got dementia, she doesn't remember, so she kept coming to Obi and saying, why am I here? What am I doing here? What's going on? You know, and he had to, you know, he kept explaining it to her every time, you know, he copied what the other lady said so that she'd get the same picture every time. And then he said she went and looked out the window, and then she was looking out the window and she started crying again, and it really upset me. Things like that really upset me. And, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have made any difference if they brought her in earlier, but I think it probably would have done a little bit, because, you know, to wake up and not know where you are, it must be so terrifying, even if you don't know what's going on. You know, she knows to that extent that she's in a strange place, and it must have been really, really frightening for her. And I just, you know, he said, I think it upset him. He said he really felt for her, you know. But so at least Nick, your nan, I can't remember what you called her, nan or something. She has the choice of what to do with herself, which is great. And I was thinking, it got me thinking about my grandparents, my maternal grandparents, and I really loved them, especially my nan. She died when I was 12, but you know what I mean? You know, I still think about her a lot. I dream about her sometimes, and I still really miss her. I miss her. And I know that might sound stupid after all these years, but I really do. And I miss, I know, and I often think, I go back to the house in my mind and I try and remember every little detail of everything. I could spend, if I can't sleep sometimes, that's the sort of thing I do. I think of a place that's been very special to me. And there's been a few places in my life where I feel the part of me is still there. Now, that may sound crazy, but I'll tell you this. One of them is, I think there's about four places. One of them is my grandparents' house. I feel that some part of my heart or my spirit or something has never left there. It's still very much in me. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it apart from that. And of course, different people have lived there for years now. And my granddad died when I was 20. He had actually had dementia. He had hardening of the arteries, which caused him to go senile. And he ended up in a care home. But he was a very funny man, and everyone loved him. And he used to own restaurants in his younger day, and he used to go in the kitchen at the care home, and he thought it was one of his restaurants, and he used to be trying to order them around, and they used to think he was really funny, you know what I mean? He wasn't aggressive or anything like that. He was a nice man, a very, very nice man. Anyway, I miss them too, and I miss the place, and a part of me feels like a part of me is still there, or a part of the place is still in me. Another place, I think it's what it is. I think what I can boil it down to is places where I've been very happy. But I don't know. I think it might be more than that, because there's lots of places I've been happy, and these are the places that stick in my heart. That's one. My secondary school, Chorleywood College, is another. I feel I had a dream once. This was 10 years ago. One day I had such a vivid dream about being there that when I woke up, I couldn't stop crying, because I felt like I was there. And I felt like when I woke up, I was dragged through all the intervening years, and I was dragged like on a kind of kaleidoscope, like that, like on a cartoon roll, if you like, back to now. And I felt absolutely distraught. And that's one of the weirdest experiences that I've ever had. And in fact, I couldn't rest that time. The school was something about it was so much in me that a couple of weeks later, it might have even been a week later, I know it was 10 years ago, it was the August Bank Holiday 2004, I took my ex-husband and the kids up there. We went up to visit on the train. It was a carnival day, the Notting Hill Carnival. We went up to the school, and it's now been turned into a retirement home, and the newer building's been knocked down, and a lot of the land's been built on. They've built bungalows and little cottages. It's been tastefully done, but it's a shame because some of the old features have gone, but a lot are still there. and like the pond's been filled in, and this big cedar tree that we used to climb is still there. The ha-ha field's gone. That's a car park and the summer house. And it's all quite sad, really. But it kind of put something to rest. We had a really nice day. We were walking around the grounds and this really well-spoken lady came out and said, "Hello, can I help you?" And I thought, oh, God, here we go. We had both had guide dogs, and I had the two kids. They were what, Ronan? It was 10 years ago, so Ronan must have been coming up. Ronan must have been six. No, he must have been seven because it was August. Ronan was seven, and Connor must have been coming up for 12. And she said, "Well, I said, "Well, I used to come to school here, and I just wanted to bring my family back to have a look round because we weren't really supposed to go in. It did say no entry, I think, on the gate. So anyway, she said, "Okay." Well, we're having it's the bank holiday. We're actually having a little tea party in the hall. So she said, "Would you like to come and join us?" So we went in. We had a really nice time, and I was really scared the kids were going to show me up because these are all people that have had money. Do you know what I mean? They buy into these places. I think they sell their house and then I don't know whether they rent them or they actually buy them. I'm not sure. And they didn't show me up. And it was all very much tea and scones and cakes. But it was nice. And there was someone else, a couple of people with their little pet dogs, and everyone loved the dogs, but they didn't try to feed them. And we had a walk round just on the ground floor. And this place smelt the same. It was really weird. Went in the library we didn't stay that long. I suppose we must have stayed about an hour and a half or something. And then we went, and we had brought a picnic with us, but of course we'd had these sandwiches and that, so we had it on the way home. But we walked across, we went down what we used to call the Rice Krispie path, which was a gravel path round there. It was in the middle of the country. What, Pinky? There's no pavements anywhere except on the main road there was, but they're all country lanes. Our school was in a lane called Dog Kennel Lane. And when I first went to the school, they put in a path. There was a huge grass verge that went down to the main road. And so on the school side, so that a path was put in so that we didn't have to walk in the road. And it was a gravel path. And we called it the Rice Krispie path because it made an out noise like a Rice Krispie. So we walked along the Rice Krispie path, only all the gravel had gone and it was a bit overgrown. And we walked down to the main road and we went to see if the sweet shop was there. It used to be a sweet shop. It was actually like a general store. It was like a corner shop, really. It was quite big. There were two ends to it. There was a sweet end and there was the other one where you could get bread and sugar and stuff like that. And it was called Pullen's in my day. And we were really disappointed because Ronan was so excited to go to the sweet shop. It's an estate agent's. So there's a sign of the times. And then we came back and we walked across the common to the church. We used to have to go to church every Sunday, and it used to be open. You could walk into the churchyard and into the church, but that's another sign of the times. The gate was locked. We could look into the churchyard, but you couldn't go in. That was always open. And then we had to walk across the common back to the station, so we had to pass the pub called the Black Horse. Now, that was forbidden to us at school. Even if we turned 18, we were not allowed to drink in the back Black Horse because it was right on the doorstep of the school, and it apparently gave the girls a bad reputation, the school. And I was still 17 when I left anyway, so I wasn't legally able to go in there. So I decided to go for my first and last, probably, drink in the Black Horse. So we went in there. I think my ex might have had a pint or something, I can't remember, but we had all soft drinks, and it came to about £13. We couldn't believe it. I gave him a tenner. Maybe I'm behind the times. I mean, this was 10 years ago. I gave him a tenner because he didn't have any change or something, and one of the kids came back and said, "Mum, that's not enough." Anyway, we had a drink there. They did food, but we couldn't really afford those prices. And besides, we still had our picnic, so we ate that on the way back. We actually ate it at Chorleywood Station waiting for the train. But we had a really nice day, and that kind of satisfied me for a while. I'd been back. I'd laid something to rest. I don't know what it was, because I went to the closing down thing. Now, I've never felt like that about my other school. Mind you, I was only there 3 years, Dalton House. I did go to their closing down thing. last year, and I loved it, but I've never felt the same connection. Another place that I've felt a strong connection with is the Clifton Hotel, well, Tynmouth, really. I suppose, again, that is because we went so many times when the kids were young. We used to go at least once a year, usually for 2 weeks. We did spend quite a lot of our life down there, really, in a way, certainly our holidays. And I feel that I've still got a connection with it. I wouldn't want to move down there because it's too far away from my family, but I love it down there. And it's been 5 years since we've been. I haven't really been able to afford it in that time. It's very expensive to stay at the hotel. But I suppose, you know, we could stay somewhere else. But then part of it is the lovely grounds. We love the grounds at the hotel, and you know, it's really, and everything that's set out for the dogs and that, you know. So, you know, that's not such a strong thing as the school. But I have got that connection with it. And, I mean, I've stayed other places. I've been in other places, but I don't feel that. And the last place I can think of offhand is Nigeria. I feel like, sometimes I feel homesick for it, even though I've not really spent, in terms of my life, much time there. But there's something about it that got under my skin, and I really long to go back there. I long to go back to, down to Tynmouth as well. Those two places, I really long to go back to them. But as I was saying, my grandparents, they were a big part of my life in the early years. And, you know, I really miss them. I wish, you know, my nan died when she was 75. She died on her 75th birthday. My granddad was, I think he was about 80. He was 80. But they had a, I don't know why they had a big influence on me. We lived there for a few years when we were very small, and then we moved, when I was 5, we moved right away, and we used to only visit them, go, you know, every couple of weeks or whatever. We, before my dad got a car again, we had to come down on the train, and then we got a car, obviously, used to bring us, take us down there, but because they don't live that near here, it's about half an hour, 40 minutes away. So, or they lived, I should say. So, you know, I didn't see them a whole lot. We used to go and stay with them in the summer holidays. And we loved that. You know, I've got some very happy memories. But my nan had agoraphobia, and I only ever knew her go out once. She used to go out to the front gate, but the only time I ever knew once was when we first moved up to, we first moved away from that area. And she came up with my uncle. My uncle brought her up one day to our house. That was the only time. And my mum said, you know, my mum grew up with her not going out. My mum used to walk to school on her own from the age of 6 because she had older brothers and sisters. Her sister was 13 years older than her, and her brother was 10 years older. And so she was like, not like an afterthought, but you know, I don't think it was that, just a bit of a surprise. And so she had, my granddad was working because he had these restaurants, cafes or whatever they were. They were more than a cafe, I think. And he was a fantastic cook. You know, when we used to go and we used to go and visit them on Sundays, and we used to really look forward to the roast dinner. He used to do the meat. I mean, that was before I gave up meat. The meat was so lovely, and he used to make lovely apple pie. The pastry on it used to melt in your mouth. And anyway, as I say, I don't know why they were an influence. I think your grandparents are, if you're lucky enough to have them. I just wish I'd had more time with mine. But I suppose no one can take away the time I did have with them. It just, sometimes it seems a long time ago, and sometimes it doesn't. And the thing I feel very sad about is no one ever visits their graves, and I'm sure they're all overgrown and forgotten about. And I wish we could go and one day go and tidy them up and just put some flowers. But I don't even know if we'd know where to find them now. They're in a big cemetery. I know it's by a railway line, because I remember when I was at my grand, I didn't go to my nan's funeral because we were 12 and we got sent to our other grandmother who we didn't care for much. She was a bit of an old batlax. I'm not going to run her down on audiobook because she's dead, but she wasn't very nice. She favoured my other two two female cousins. They were like better than us. And she used to say, I had really long hair. Well, I still have, but when I was a child, I could sit on it and it was really thick. It's still very thick, but it was thicker. It was like Hawaiian hair. And she used to say that, no wonder I'm pale because my hair's taken all my goodness, I should get it cut. And my mum said she was jealous. She didn't like anyone. You know, she was always like to be the prettiest woman ever. I mean, I was only a child, but what I mean is when I grew a bit older and I had this lovely hair and people used to stop us in the street and go on about my hair, and I think she just didn't like it. And like when we had our school photos, my mum, you know, like you give out the school photos. We used to give her one, you know, and then when we used to go there the next time, she'd put our photos to the back and my cousins, Katie and Mary Ann's, theirs was at the front. So my mum used to swap them round again, put ours at the front. Anyway, and things like, she bought us gift vouchers for Christmas and birthdays. I mean, we didn't mind, but she just said, oh, well, I buy Katie and Mary Ann presents because they like unwrapping presents. Well, I'm not being funny, but so did we, you know what I mean? Anyway, we went there on the day of the funeral. We went and so we didn't go to my nan's funeral, but I did go to my granddad's because I was 20 then, and I was really dreading hearing the coffin going down into the grave, and I was so thankful because an express train came roaring past right at that moment, so I didn't have to hear it, thankfully. Anyway, I don't know what got me started on all this. It's just I was thinking, listening to Nick's boo, and I was quite sad, really. But then I got to thinking that at least his nana can make her own choices still. She's still sound of mind. And you know, some people really like going in the care homes. It gives them a whole new lease of life. They make new friends, and life is... I think you can, if you get a good one, you can make of it what you want, you know what I mean? They do activities, you don't have to do them, I don't think, but they try and make it nice for the people. In the home where my husband works, even though they're people that have got advanced stages of dementia, a lot of them, they still do activities with them and entertain them every day, which is a good thing. They do try and keep what mind they've got. They try and keep it going as long as possible. But in an ordinary care home, I think they really do try and, you know, have entertainment for people. But you have your own room, so you can go and... But I think you can mix in as much as you want to, if you know what I mean. And for some old people, I think it's a relief. I mean, my dad's twin sister, her husband had dementia, and she lived in Kent. They lived in a beautiful house in a little village of Wye. It's down Ashford Way. And they just sold up and moved up to Blackpool to a retirement home. But she hated it there. She didn't like it. But she's not the easiest person to get on with. I think probably she upset a lot of people because she's never been that easiest person. She was the one that said to burn my passport about me going to Nigeria. But she does care about me. It was her way of caring because she's always ringing my mum up asking what's happening about my kidneys, what's happening, when will we know, when will we know. But she lives up... My cousin, she's had a hard life because she lost one of her sons at 26 with cancer, and her other son, who was a bit older than me, died a couple of years ago suddenly of a heart attack. He was very overweight, but... So she's only got one son left, the middle one, Adam, and he lives up in Blackpool with his new partner because he's divorced. I've got such a very complicated family. And they live in this big house with like a little cottage in the grounds. And so she lives there, and she has the life of Riley up there with them. They wait on her hand and foot. So she's turned out all right. I don't think they'd want her in, under the same roof, because I think she'd enough to try the patience of a saint, but she's near enough that they can look after her, but she can still maintain her independence. So I think care home for some people can be a good thing. It's not like necessarily like the end of the road. It can be a new lease of life. Anyway, I don't know what I'm going on about. I've got a lot to do today. I've got to actually try and do some hoovering. Now, I haven't hoovered in a while because it's a task that's... My hoover's heavy and it's a task that is tiring. I can do the stairs. Funnily enough, that's easy, but... I don't know, I've got a big room here to do, but I'm only going to do it quickly. Obi's in bed and O'Connor's got a day off. And their dad's coming over today to see Ronan because he can't go out because of his dressings on his feet. So he won't wear sandals. So his dad's coming over. Well, they're both coming over, his dad and his wife. And so they're coming over this afternoon. So it's not untidy here at all, but I just want to quickly put the hoover around and that. And then no doubt I'll probably be back later. Yeah, I think I feel better today. Yesterday wasn't a good day. I did get to be okay by the evening, but all the tasks I was supposed to do in the day I ended up doing in the evening. But at least I did get them done. I just had really no energy and just felt really awful. And I just didn't feel in a very good mood, which isn't really like me. And I didn't get in proper sleep again, but I haven't got the stomach trouble. That always makes things 1,000 times worse. So that can make me feel quite unwell at times, and I haven't got that today so far. So anyway, so far so good, really. Sorry to waffle on so much, and if you've got to this point, then thanks for listening. And you need a medal, I'll be dishing them out at the end of the month. The Patience Award. Where's Lammy? Oh, he's sitting up on the back of the cuddler. Niall's in his bed. I daren't even say his name. Oh, he's not. Niall? He's laying on the mat. When I said Niall was in his bed, he wagged his tail. Yes, hello. Good boy. I'm going to brush you in a minute before I hoover. And, why, you haven't got anything? Go and get me a toy then. Go and get a toy. Go find a toy. Go find a toy. He's looking for one now. What you got? Show me. Show me. He's gone outside to look for one. Have you found anything? Show me. Come here. Come here, you dimwit. How can I see what you've got when you don't keep still? Where's your head? Oh, he's got his sheep. Okay, very nice. Good boy. Yeah, so that's all for me, I think. Anyway, I'm going because I'm just sitting here going, and drinking my tea. And not getting anywhere fast. Here comes the sun again. I didn't respond to any of my direct messages last night because I just didn't really feel... Because I just wasn't feeling it yesterday, you know what I mean? Anything. So I think what I'll do is I've got tomorrow night and Monday night. I tend to do it when Obi's at work because it just passes the night. I sometimes do it when he's here. If I can't sleep, I come downstairs. But I really like to do my private messages upstairs. I don't know why, I just do. And so I will get through. I've got a lot to get through. And I will get through them all because I love hearing from people. And, of course, when I don't answer their messages, then I don't hear from them, do I? So I will. I'm not being rude, anybody. I will get back to you. I haven't really had a lot of time this week, and yesterday I didn't really feel like it. Anyway, I'll love you and leave you for now. I'm not sure we'll speak again soon.